This is Don't Panic, episode number 409, recorded April 9th, 2026. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this episode of Don't Panic, the lifestyle advice podcast from a bunch of guys who don't have a life. I'm Sean Jennings, joined as always by our respective Super Bowl winners and losers. It's Dan and Colby. Good evening,
right,
gentlemen.
I forgot about that.
It's been a while. It's been a little while. Yeah.
Man, that really happened.
This dovetails into what I was just talking about. So we were just talking about how I was in Hawaii, and we flew in the day before the Super Bowl, and actually two friends that we had met through like a local parenting group were also in Hawaii. And we thought, wouldn't it be fun to watch the Super Bowl together? But that next day, it was when one of the rainstorms happened. And like the governor was on TV telling everyone to stay home, no non-essential travel. People's roofs were getting blown off. And they were on the other side of the island. And so it was like, oh, well, you just drive through this like canyon. I was like, that doesn't seem like a good idea in a rainy windstorm to drive through a canyon. So we tried. And then here's a tech angle. I would never have otherwise watched the Super Bowl, except for the fact that we were stuck inside and that Seattle was playing in it. And so I tried. We had a TV. We had cable. I tried to figure out how to use this thing to watch a Super Bowl. Like, if you're not from an area, how do you find the Super Bowl on the giant 3,000 channel list? And the app was so bad, we gave up. I did eventually find it, and I came in for the very end of the halftime show, and there was a bunch of telephone poles and people who looked like they were working on the telephone poles, and I had this like crazy moment. I was like, is this like the people restoring the power right now?
You're still watching the news? Yeah.
Have I lost my mind? So yes, I didn't really see it, but I heard that once again, it wasn't a very good game. Every time Seattle's in the Super Bowl, it's just not that interesting.
I mean, it was a really good game if you like watching the Patriots lose, which most of America does. So right, in that respect, it gave you something to cheer for. But congratulations on living in the city of champions.
Thank you. Thank you. Another funny thing was we were telling someone a couple days after, and I don't remember if I said this here, but we don't watch football. But I always knew when they won because people love to shoot off fireworks in our neighborhood from one particular, the park that looks over the city. I don't understand why. I guess they think that people can see it better as if, I don't know. It's like the people who put the boombox in the, sticking out of their dorm room in college. It's like, is this for you or is this for me? Anyways, yeah, I don't understand why they shoot off the fireworks, but they do. And so every night, as soon as the baby would go to bed at whatever time, Pacific time, the game would be over, 7 p.m., 8 p.m., 8:30, depending. Boom, boom, they go off, wake the baby up. I get really pissed off. So I was kind of upset that they had made it to the Super Bowl because each time they won, I knew I had the potential for next Sunday to have the baby wake up again. But this time I was like, well, joke's on you. We're moving to Hawaii. First of all, it's another 3-hour time difference. And so now the game ends at like 3 or 4 p.m. Great. Plus, who in Hawaii is going to shoot off fireworks because the Seahawks won? But actually, I did see a lot of Seahawks paraphernalia. There were Seahawks cupcakes at the local grocery store. I don't know if there's like a special affinity in Hawaii. But the real joke that was on us.
It's one of the, geographically, it's probably one of the closest sports teams, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the closest football teams. Yeah.
The real joke that is on us is in the state park. So we were not in the super touristy area of Honolulu, but we were in Honolulu. And in the state park that is closest to us, every Friday they shoot off fireworks. So once again, the joke was on me. So that's my story about going to Hawaii and the Super Bowl and the baby.
Well, I'm sure you were sad you missed the victory parade.
Yeah, there would have been no chance that I would have gone, but yeah.
Sure. Now, Listen, I know you, Dan. I know you're laser focused now on the Mariners. So, you know.
I'm laser focused on the aren't we getting a new basketball team or something? Someone said this.
Yeah, that's what they're heading down that road. You're going to get your Sonics back.
Yeah, so people are very excited about that and the World Cup.
Yes. Also coming. Yes, I don't think you've ever been. You've never been to a Kraken game at the worst named arena in sports, the Climate Pledge Arena.
Is it the worst? Is it the worst named? That would be a good tier list.
It's got it, but I'm going to write that down because that is a good one. It's the only one. I mean, it's Amazon who sponsors it, and they called it the Climate Pledge Arena to reflect their pledge to the climate. So it's not even named after the company. Like it's named after a promise. Like it's just so bizarre. I would almost rather be the Sleep Train Arena used to be one. It's now it's a different name, but the Smoothie King Center. I'd almost rather have that.
Orange Julius Center.
Yeah, it's not ideal. I think I read that everyone was pissed off that they were going to call it the Amazon Center or whatever, and so then that's why they named it that.
Excellent.
They could have called it the Rainforest. There was a lot of.
Well, you think the Rainforest Cafe would have been upset getting in on their turf?
I'm mostly excited for because the World Cup is coming. It means that they have finally opened the new train. And they will finally finish, at least for now. There will be a point at which they stop doing construction on the airport. It might be only 3 months, but that time is fast approaching. So that's what I'm most excited about.
Yeah, we're rudely making people go all the way out to Foxborough for their games. They don't even get to stay in the city, those lucky ducks. Enjoy the traffic, suckers.
did you see that they're running the MBTA trains, but they're going to charge $80.
Wait, what?
Yep.
They're going to charge $80 to take the regular ass commuter rail to the World Cup.
But does it go there normally?
Well, they have like a special line because it's at the stadium where the Patriots play. And right. So it's this like special line that doesn't run like every day, but it only runs when there's an event.
I see. And so do they normally charge extra for it?
I don't think so. I think it's usually like $10 or something.
Have you ever gone to a Patriots game?
I have, but not via train.
Via train.
No, but driving in and out also totally sucks because it is a small town. Basically, they put a sports stadium in, so getting in and out's terrible. The whole experience is. That's all right. I think the minimum price on tickets is like $750. So I said, thank you, but no thank you. I don't know if you guys saw the big scam that FIFA ran. I mean, they are a big scam organization, obviously. But what they did was they put out these maps of the stadiums. They'd be like, this is Section 1 pricing, Section 2 pricing, Section 3 pricing. It was basically like the lower bowl, the kind of mid bowl, and the upper bowl. And there was a price for each. And it was like $750 for the cheapest, and then like $1,250 and $1,750 or something like that. So, okay, you can buy your, and we'll put you somewhere randomly in that section. Okay. Well, turns out a bunch of people bought Section 1. Thinking like the most expensive thing, like, oh, I could end up, you know, pitch side or on the middle yard line or, you know, turns out they blocked out all the good seats and they actually weren't part of Section 1. They were for VIPs and were going to charge a lot more. And so they put out a second map after they sold all the tickets with a bunch of blocks on all the good seats that all the Section 1 people thought they were getting. And of course, there's the fine print when you buy the ticket. Like, the map is representational. I'm like, oh, man, I got to get into this FIFA business, man. They're doing it right.
Doing it right.
Gross. Gross. Well,
I was just real quick on this. I was talking to someone yesterday who was, I didn't even know that this is how it worked, was selected for the opportunity to buy a ticket to the Los Angeles Olympics.
Yes.
And it is extremely complicated. And I had lots of questions for him that he didn't know all the answers to about, like, because there are many events across many days. And then for each event, it's at a venue. And then within that venue, there's tiered seating. I'm curious to hear how it actually works. Maybe, Sean, you know. My big question was, how could one go see the opening ceremony? Because I think that would be the most, like, unique per minute experience. Like, you know, other sports, you can watch a soccer or a basketball game, and it probably doesn't feel that different from any other one most of the time at the Olympics. But the opening ceremony, there's no NFL opening ceremony. Although, imagine how cool that would be. Actually, is there an NFL? There should be an NFL opening ceremony.
Well, there's the kickoff game, which is the first game of the season. And actually this year, it's the first game of the season, the kickoff game. And then the day after, they're playing in Australia for the first time ever. Yes.
And that's cool.
Fun fact. No, the Olympic tickets. Yeah, it's a similar thing to the FIFA thing where you apply, you get a group number. Your group number sends you online at a certain time in a waiting room. The waiting room generates some kind of priority list where it gives you the right to put what is essentially a deposit down on a ticket for a sport, not a specific day, not a specific venue, not a specific game, but a sport. Within that sport, you can do tiered seatings, but they don't tell you where those seats are and which venue because some of the venues don't even exist yet. And so basically, if you wanted to see Olympic basketball today, all you can really do is buy a level one basketball ticket. You might be seeing Angola versus Ethiopia, or you might be seeing the U.S. versus, you know, Canada or something exciting. Don't know yet the venue. Don't know yet the dates, but it'll be at some point. It's so vague because it's 2 years out. But this is and like I said, all the really good seats are held back. So, Dan, I would be very surprised if you could buy. I hadn't seen about the opening ceremony. I know some of the individual sports. I would think that's such a VIP thing that that would be pretty hard to get a hold of.
Yeah. And that we asked that question. So it sounds like you do not get to pick your event. You just randomly get assigned. But then how do you know when?
You can pick an event. Yeah.
But you can't say, I want to see U.S. Canada, because, of course, you don't know if U.S. Canada is even going to play. So do you get to pick, like, I want on July 17th, that's the day I'm going to be in Los Angeles. And that's when I want, or do they tell you, like,
no,
you better get your ass to Los Angeles on July 17th, because surprise, you're watching a cricket game.
Yeah, no. You can buy the right to a ticket of a basketball game. I don't know how they will later decide which game and which seat at which time and which stadium. That I don't understand how that works, but I do know that you are buying the right to see an Olympic basketball game. Crazy.
It is crazy.
And remember, this was the Olympics that was supposed to be in Boston, if you remember correctly.
I think about that all the time.
Could you imagine?
How much do you think they'd charge that Foxborough train then?
I don't think the train would even work.
I remember when they were talking about that and thinking to myself, like, A, terrible idea. Like, absolute disaster. B, like, there's no way I'll live here.
You'd have to run away. Well, but you'd rent out your place. I mean, that's the thing. Like, I'd see that as
that's
a gold
true,
opportunity. But go to Hawaii for 2 weeks, rent out your place for top dollar,
and
you're
profit.
Done. And make a profit. I mean, that's literally, it's crazy.
Maybe that's what I should be doing for the World Cup.
I would bet you people, certainly in Foxborough, are doing that. I wouldn't want to be anywhere near that place for the World Cup.
I remember one time I was on a Boy Scout trip, and we randomly went to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And it's just like in a suburb. And across from the gate where you could drive or walk in, there's someone's house. And that person, every single house in like a 5-block radius is renting out their driveway at exorbitant prices, and people were paying for it, and it wasn't even like the big race, it was just like a qualifier or something, and people were still paying for it.
Yep. Oh yeah, they're you know, we have Six Flags here, and I once saw a real estate listing for a house that was right next to Six Flags, and they put the annual parking revenue in the listing for the house. Because the house wasn't that impressive. It was kind of run down. But it's like, you can buy the house. And also, you make like $15,000 a year in Six Flags parking, you know? Like, that was part of the deal.
That's crazy.
Like, oh, that's good to know.
That is.
Because, by the way, Six Flags parking now, in case you haven't been to a Six Flags recently, I believe it's up of like $30 or $40 a day to park. It is bananas.
I don't think I've ever been to Six Flags.
Buddy, come on out. It's the smallest park in the chain. You got to come see it.
Unimpressed.
It really is. It's the convenience store of amusement parks. You get in, you get what you need, you get out. I don't understand how people have season passes, because I think after about two or three visits, you've done it.
Yeah. But then again, I think that about Disney World, too. It's bigger, but I just have a hard time imagining going every weekend. But people do.
That's crazy. That's crazy. Colby.
Yes.
I have a specific question for you. This was my only noted topic coming into this evening.
Ready.
Because I understand that you are now part of a new small business that I want to hear about.
Oh, yeah. This is my only question, too.
Tell me. Well, A, I want to hear about it, but B, I also want to get the URL to where I can buy some. But tell us about this.
So since the house was finished enough for a person to live in, Laura has been scheming about some way that she can sell bread in affiliation with my sister's farm stand. So there's a thing in many states called like a cottage food license where you can basically like, you go through some like less than a restaurant rigorous, you know, vetting process where like, you know, you have to fill out an application and they like want like a sketch of your property and like where the well is in relation to the septic system. And they like want proof that your dishwasher gets up to a certain temperature, and they like, I don't know, you have to take a food safety course, and then you can submit like a menu basically of the things you want to sell. And there are things you cannot sell. Like you can't sell anything with dairy in it. And you can't sell anything with like fruit you can't sell anything that needs to be refrigerated. But you submit it and then they review your menu and they give you a hard time. And then eventually they approve you and you are allowed to sell food that was made in your home kitchen with a label on it that says like, this food was like made, this is like a cottage law food that like isn't inspected.
Eat like at your own risk food. Kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah. It's basically it. But Laura has done this in last weekend for the first time. She sold bread out of my sister's farm stand. She made $84.
Revenue or profit?
Revenue. Profit?
$83.
Right. Well, it's like she did out, you know, not counting her time, a loaf of bread costs like $1.20 or something, right? It's like not that expensive. She did, so the bread was good. She made sourdough loaves and cinnamon rolls and sold some of both of them. But she did out the profit, and like the bread is great because bread ingredients are cheap, but the cinnamon rolls had a lot of butter in them.
It's killing your margins.
Right, exactly. So she's either going to change cinnamon roll recipes or just not make cinnamon rolls anymore. It was a resounding success. She sold like, you know, three things of cinnamon rolls and like five loaves of bread.
Well, that's great. I mean, I will state for the record, and I'm not just saying this, she really is a wonderful baker, so I'm not surprised. But I do know the area where compound where you live is located. How on earth does anyone find this farm stand?
So, like, my sister, like, there are, like, it's not like everyone has a farm stand, but, like, almost every street has a farm stand where like someone is selling eggs or something. Like this, the town is like, it has this weird, like small farm zoning where like, you know, all the lots are 5 acres and it's like in the town charter that like you can have chickens or something. Mm-hmm. Like it's like a weird, you know, it's like not a real farm, but it's like a, you know, whatever, you can have a hobby farm kind of thing. But like my sister has regulars who just like get their eggs from her.
Gotcha.
But there's also a town Facebook page. And so like that morning, Cameron posted like, surprise, we have whatever, bread on Hill Road. And like,
well, I'm sure that's very uncommon in a farm stand. So
no, it's not super common. There's one other person who does this in like the next town over, like 20 minutes away.
And so you want me to burn down their farm stand? Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, it hasn't come to that yet. But if it does, I'm ready.
I will do it for the family. No, that's great. Congratulations. That's very exciting.
Yeah, it was fun. We like, you know, it was the first time. It's never happened before. There was no like preamble. Like we didn't tell, you know, we didn't like advertise that this was happening. So, you know, Laura was like, I would have been happy if we sold a single loaf.
Yeah. I mean, that's for a spur of the moment thing. Listen, if anyone is in rural Rhode Island, and I know millions of our listeners are, DM Colby. He'll give you the address. Stop on by and get yourself some fresh baked goods. Least we could do is promote. Is that the pick of the week?
Yeah, there you go. we'll put it on the website. It's unclear what the cadence of bread, like when the bread drop will be. Like probably every 2 weeks on Sunday.
Well, I was about to say, that's the whole like, you know, the drop model where it's everything's limited edition and people are waiting. They get on the list and then all of a sudden it's boom, you know, it just drops suddenly. I think that could really get the hype going.
That's the way to do it.
Right. Yeah, man, it's crazy, but it was pretty fun.
Excellent. Very nice.
Did you get to watch the people come or you just came back later and it was all gone?
I don't think we saw anyone buy anything. My dad did take a loaf of bread without paying for it. And he took a picture of himself taking a
classic
loaf of bread without paying for it, just to let us know that like when we were short, it was him that took it and not. My sister said she saw someone who like pulled up, you know, it's like, it's an unmanned operation, right? It's a fully autonomous farm stand where like there's a cooler with eggs in it. And there's like a table with bread on it. And there's a box that you put your money in. But my sister said she saw someone go in and it seemed like they went in for eggs. And then the guy came out of the farm stand holding up a loaf of bread. And his wife was like,
it's a delighter. It's a delighter.
Nice.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. Very wholesome.
Excellent. Putting that new kitchen to use.
Yeah, you know.
Or should I say a legal really big food manufacturing facility?
It blows my mind that. Oh, go ahead, Colby.
I was going to say we just had, Laura bought a lot of like large format cookware. We have huge balls.
I would love to see her in like Restaurant Depot or something. I'm sure she'd go crazy.
She did the free trial of the web restaurant store or whatever it is.
Yeah.
We use that during COVID. It's great. Yeah. I'm amazed that there's a farm stand certification. I had just assumed that you were sort of taking your life into your own hands when you grew like the people who just have chickens and they just put eggs in a hut on the side of the road. Like I guess maybe they are doing some sort of FDA certification, but it's I'm shocked.
It's different for, I think there might be no certification if it is like, if you don't do anything.
If it's not prepared.
Right. So like for chicken eggs or like, you know, tomatoes or something, if you don't do anything to it, like you can put it in your, you know, in on the side of the road and sell it. And that's like legal, but you are, you know, if you're preparing it. Yeah. Like if it's being processed in any way, I think you're supposed to do something.
If she wants to, and you know, I don't want to say I'm a business genius. Others have said that about me. I'm just repeating them. You know, if she wants to avoid this whole certification process, she could just go to the store, buy an existing loaf of bread, not modify it, and then sell it. And I believe that would mean she wouldn't have to be part of the, because I know I go to my store, they've got bread, they've got cinnamon rolls, they've got all kinds of good stuff. You know, you grab it, you hike up the price a little bit, you know, the margins are thinner, but you're going to up your volume like crazy. Come on, this is, can't believe I give this away for free.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think there's any recertification process. Like, I think now that she did it once, she's
good. Well, good. I'll rest easy.
Sir. What's new with you, Sean?
Me? Gosh, what is new with me since the last time we spoke? We want to talk about house stuff? One of our favorite topics. So my house might be falling down. So over the last like 6 months, a bunch of cracks have started appearing in all my walls. And I've been doing a lot of research, and it's not like, I don't think it's just bad drywall, although I do have bad drywall. I think I got to get a structural engineer in here to look at it, unfortunately. My leading theory is that, you know, the main support beam of the house has some metal posts running under it, like you would in any house. I think one or more of them are sinking, and it's throwing off the balance of the house. So that's my theory. But until I get an engineer in here, I don't know for sure. And it also means not only do I have to then fix that problem, I then have to fix all my drywall. So really great.
Excellent.
Feels good.
It's the dream. The saga continues.
And a saga it has been. Although I will say, glass half full, my lawn looks awesome. It is totally green, edge to edge already. It's growing. The patio is gray. All the landscape work looks amazing. I got my fence repair guy coming tomorrow to do a little fence work, but it looks phenomenal. So I can't complain about that, at least.
That's great.
Now, I have a question for Daniel. Did you have a house sitter while you were gone? A month's a long time to leave your house.
We are lucky to know our neighbors. And so presumably if something terrible happened, they would have said something. We have the cameras and the water leak sensors and all that fun stuff. Although a lot of houses in Seattle do not have wired doorbells. I don't understand what they did before the advent of wireless Wi-Fi doorbells. But our doorbell can't last the month on battery, so it eventually died. And then we just prayed that nothing was delivered and no one did anything terrible out front. But otherwise, yeah. Yeah, it was fine. I was pleasantly surprised. We did undertake some, we took some cost savings measures. Like, we turned off the water heater and we turned the heat way down. We duct taped the freezer in the basement shut, because this has been us several times. That is a pro tip. If you're going to be gone for a while, just tape it shut. You do not want it opening, and especially if it's open and on. Yeah, that's pretty much it. No, I think we probably got lucky not to tempt the universe. Yeah. I don't think I have any interesting house things to...
That's good.
That is, yes, it is good.
It's the dream.
It is good. We gave up on doing seeds in our garden this year. We just bought the starter plants from the nursery. Yep. Now we look like we're really amazing gardeners because it's already, got stuff poking out.
Wow.
I think that's it.
Well, let me ask a question for you guys, because I guess I do have another conversation topic. So starting next week, basically for the entire week, they are painting my office, our offices. It's this horrible yellow color. They're painting it what I've determined to be institution gray, which should be great. It means I've had to totally pack up my office and clean, and it's been a huge pain in my ass. But I haven't been longtime work from home since COVID. I haven't had a week of consecutive work from home. And you guys are the kings of work from home. You've obviously done it for a very long time. And now, you know, we've talked about it over the years, but it's now 2026. And I'm curious, if someone were coming to you saying, guys, I'm working from home for the first time, an extended work from home for the first time, what would be your like top tips? Your like things you've learned over the years to make that a better experience for a newbie like myself who does a day now and then, but doesn't do like a whole week plus.
I feel like you already are relatively well set up because you have a desk. Like,
true.
I talk to some people, they don't have desks. They're just working at the kitchen table.
Or monitors. People who don't have monitors. Someone was saying to me, oh my God, I hate using the little trackpad on my laptop. I'm like, you don't have a mouse? Like, you don't like have anything? That's crazy.
Accessories.
Yeah, man. It's, I told them I'll expense one for you. Don't. And we have the Dells. We've got these, the world's smallest trackpads. They're terrible.
Jeez. Yeah. I mean, now is like, when COVID happened and we had to go home, like I had my like weird standing desk and like I had a monitor and like a, you know, Apple keyboard or something, but it was not like super comfortable. So, but you're set on all that stuff. I don't know. I feel like I don't really work from home anymore either because I go to the office some number of days a week now. Yeah. I got RTO'd in the acquisition or whatever.
You're too critical. They need you.
In the doghouse.
Yeah, the doghouse. No, it's great. I go to the office and now I just like get to fight for phone booths because I spend my entire day in meetings
at the office. And my other favorite thing is trying to balance your laptop and your cup of coffee and the water and also open a door, also badge into a door at the same time. That is a type of yoga that I haven't done in a couple of years.
Yeah, that's
you
why
try to put
I
your wall in your pocket and then do the butt check against the door, but then you got to balance the coffee so it doesn't spill.
That's where you got to be one of those guys who injects the RFID tag in their palm or something.
I met another person who did that a couple of weeks ago, and it kind of blew my mind. That's dedication.
Yeah. I think, that's what's crazy to me, though, is like I get working from home and I get working from an office. The in-between is what's very strange to me, where it's like you have to go to work, but you don't have like a cube or an office or something. You're just like, you're still alone. You're just alone in that building, which is very strange. Because when I go into work, like I have in-person meetings all day long with all the other people who work in the office. I get that. I never understood that hybrid.
I think in the Seattle office, I've had maybe 3 in-person meetings ever.
Yeah.
In almost 2 years.
So what do you do there? Like, seriously, are you, well, no, you're just
so
on
what
your computer
you do?
The whole time?
I mean, we're completely off of. Now it's more like if you could work
That's
from
great.
Home, why would you ever work in an office? And I think if you're in one of these like distributed companies, I think the thing for me is before the kid, it's nice to have a group of people that you have something in common with and you can get lunch with it, you know.
Sure.
So it's like
getting out of the house.
A free socialization activity. If you do have
it's
a kid,
mostly about lunch.
It's basically the world's best soundproofing mechanism. Especially here's the other thing. Like, yes, the baby will cry, but the reverse is also true. You are trying not to make noise during certain times as the baby is sleeping, and I don't have such a palatial house, especially with my in-laws now staying in the basement. There is no place that I can take a call and the baby will not be able to hear what I'm saying, which is fine, except then if she wakes up after 20 minutes, I'm going to think that was my fault. But none of this is answering your question.
No, it's listen, this is interesting stuff. Yeah, it's just fascinating. But no, I just didn't, you know, should I be getting up and taking breaks? Should I be,
yeah, I
you
think
know?
My work from home pro tips are to leave the house sometimes because on the days where, and this has happened a lot, it's going to happen today. I have not left the house all day long. The baby's going to go to bed in 1 hour. So I just know I'm going to feel bad. So, but it's very easy, I think, to let that happen. So try to find like something where it's like, oh, in the middle of the day, I'm going to mow the lawn, or I'm going to go walk over here and to the grocery store or whatever and buy a coffee and then walk back. Something like that.
Well, let
me going for coffee is one I use frequently to force the issue.
Now, Dan, you have a nice little backyard. You know, you got a deck. You got a pretty pleasant outdoor space. Someday I'm going to come out and build Colby his deck.
Right.
Do you work out there ever?
Yes. In the 2 months where you can here. Absolutely. I need to get the Wi-Fi to work a little bit better because I need to get the Wi-Fi in the ceiling, but it's going to be a big project.
I totally forgot this in my tour, but my Wi-Fi is in the wall. I forgot to point it out. I'll send a picture.
Oh,
later.
Interesting. My Wi-Fi is kind of in the wall, but the problem is it's in a wall that's parallel to the backyard. Maybe I just need to add another one that faces the backyard. Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, I do that. And I guess you could do that too. Presumably it's getting at least tolerably warm on the East Coast.
Yeah. I think it's supposed to be very warm next week.
Oh.
Yes. Actually, to be honest with you, my breaks from the office are raking the yard. So I have some manual labor ahead of me that will at least get me outside.
That's a good one, honestly.
I would agree.
Yeah. Just don't stay on the computer too late. That's the problem I have is there's no defined structure. So like if you're not like... If you don't create structure for yourself, you just work forever and feel bad.
Yeah, that I almost struggle now because it's been a couple years now where I'm in this pattern where every day I have, I think my slowest day has to be like 2 hour long in-person meetings. And my busiest day is probably 6 or 8 of them. So I'm very like, I'm not in my office that much, to be totally honest. I'm bouncing between buildings or between conference rooms. And some of them are remote, but most of them are in person. And so, like, I don't want to say I don't know what to do when I don't have a meeting. I am just, like, so meeting focused in my schedule, especially in-person meetings, that it's weird to be like, okay, I don't have to go anywhere. What do I do now? Which I'm sure isn't something you guys have that feeling with sometimes.
I think I want Colby. I wonder if you feel the same way. The problem is there's no end of work to do. In any given minute, there's a bajillion things you could do, especially now in the day and age we live in with our LLMs churning out code constantly, all of which needs to be reviewed. There's always something you could do. That's why I think it's so important to have like a defined endpoint. And I like there to be a physical ceremony that defines the end. Like maybe that's when I go for a walk. I go for a walk and then I come back and then I'm not working anymore. It's kind of like a fake commute. But if you're mostly meeting focused, I think that's great. I think you're actually set up much better.
There's a harder end. Well, but is that also the case though, where, cause I feel like your coworkers also determine your work schedule, because if they stop messaging you at 5 p.m. and stop emailing you at 5 p.m., you could continue work. But I feel like if they're continuing to work, you kind of, that happens to me where my coworkers are pretty good, but if some nights they continue and it causes me to be sending emails at 8 or 9 p.m.
See, I'm the opposite problem where like most of the day I can't really do anything because I'm constantly being messaged about shit. Mm-hmm. And like, I can't focus. And so as soon as Slack stops like burbling, that's when like all of a sudden I can do stuff. And then my brain just gets into like, I'm doing, you know, I'm like, I'm just like getting stuff done now, finally, when it's like 6 p.m. and I really need to stop.
I forgot to tell you about my gurgling toilet in Hawaii. This was the other problem. We had a gurgling toilet and it would go bloom, 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 bloom. And all the toilets and the shower drain would do this. And then occasionally, I would say 1 out of every 5 times that it gurgled, it would do a like bloom, 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 bloom. And then it would slowly start foaming and it would look eventually like this.
That's a fake image. That's not real.
No,
that's AI.
Real.
Come on, that's the funniest thing I've ever seen. I gotta put this. I'm gonna put this screen share up on the screen for the people watching because you do have to see this. This is pretty fantastic. What's the foam?
So it didn't smell bad. my theory was the management company of this apartment building we were staying, and their theory was that someone was using non-HE detergent in their washing machine. It smelled like bubble bath to me, but like, I don't understand. Like, once you put the bubble bath in, it bubbles and then you drain. It doesn't like bubble infinitely. I don't understand what the source of the bubbles is.
Well, if it were soap, I would think it would smell or something. You know,
it didn't smell bad. It didn't smell fragrant either. It was very strange.
And so what would you do with all the foam?
I would wait for it to eventually sort of like dissipate into the air, and then I would mop the floor. And then eventually they started doing this. So we got like a free bathroom cleaning about once every 4 to 5 days. The worst was when it happened at night because it was quite loud. The baby thankfully never seemed to wake up, but it would certainly wake us up. It was very weird. And I have to run soon. But one other thing I wanted to bring up that I just remember as a topic is I finally got my AirPods Max 2. They finally did it. They finally updated it with an actual update. And I feel so vindicated. I have been keeping track over the last 3 months because we've talked about it. And you all, I think, maybe were not, you didn't necessarily think that it was very popular. And I swear at the gym, on the airplane, no one should be using these at the freaking gym, and people are using them at the gym, and it blows my mind. So people are using them at the gym despite how terrible of an experience it must be. They must like them. So I just feel very vindicated. I'm happy that I have a headband, which is no longer completely stretched out, although it will stretch out again, and they'll have to buy another little rubber thing for it. I have the adaptive noise-canceling thing, which is nice for when you're on the airplane and you need to talk to the person to get your water. And apparently it sounds better, though, to be honest, I can't tell. So thank you.
We're so happy for you, Dan, honestly. Yeah.
This I thought of you as soon as I saw it.
Dan, if you have to run, totally understandable. We can close down the show here in your absence, but,
it was great
so
to
nice
see
to
y'all.
Catch up and see you, sir.
Yep.
We'll do it again
soon. We'll do it again soon. Bye.
Dan actually mentioned something that I did want to talk about, which is AirPods. So what version of AirPods do you have? You have the twos or the threes or the ones?
I think I have the Pro threes because I had the twos and they went through the washing machine.
Yeah. I had
actually these headphones went through the washing machine a couple weeks ago. And they're totally fine.
That's surprising. Okay. That's good to know because I also washed a pair years ago. So
maybe it's more of an indictment of our washing machine than it is.
I was about to say, I don't know how fresh your clothes are, but didn't clean the power out of those. No, I had twos and they broke. And so I had to get threes. And as somebody who had twos and now have threes, I want your opinion. The threes don't fit my ears as well. Those were the ones where they changed the physical design, where they went a little more oblongy. And these don't they don't fall out, but this, you know what happens when you like break the seal and you kind of start to hear, like mine don't keep a seal. Now, I thought it was the size of the ear tips, but you know, they have the little test you can run and it said they were a good fit. And they don't fall out, but I can't keep, I'm always like pushing them back in because they don't hold a good noise canceling seal. Am I crazy?
I'm trying to remember what it was like with the old ones. I feel like I end up pushing them back in all the time too.
Maybe it's just the old ones just fit super well. I'm not sure, but,
right.
But
yeah,
the old
maybe,
ones, I never
maybe
had to
you
do
had
that.
the blessed ear shape for the old ones.
They blew it. And so it does. Yeah. It drives me crazy that I do
and,
that.
And you tried other, like, I've heard people talk about this and like there are like third party ear tips you can get that people say.
That's a great idea. I would definitely try that. Yeah. No, I like that. See if it could help. Again, it's fine when I'm just like sitting here, but if I'm physically moving, you know, I'm mowing the lawn or I'm doing something, the seals will kind of get loose. They'll wobble a bit. So not fun.
Yep.
Mr. Colby, anything else on your mind this evening?
You know, I don't know. There's lots of things on my mind. How much, Sean, at your work, do you have to use AI? Has your company entered the like forced AI phase of this?
No, because it's like our main product is manufactured. It's steel turned into screws on a giant machine. There's no AI. So no, nobody's forcing AI, but we're using AI a little bit. I use AI a little bit. I get my money out of my $20 a month ChatGPT subscription for a little bit of marketing work. Nothing serious, but you know, there is one area of my job where AI has actually been extremely helpful. And by the way, I wasn't going to bring it up when Dan mentioned it. I would love, maybe next time, I would love to hear from you guys about AI in your job, because I know it's had a huge impact. I think we could spend a whole hour on it. But anyway, I have my division, but we also have like a division above us that's kind of our overseers with like HR and all that kind of stuff. And they always want like, oh, it's Autism Awareness Month. Can you make us a flyer? Or, oh, it's the St. Patrick's Day Parade. Can you make us a banner? And it's like, I don't want to do it. I have so much work to do for like my actual products and customers. It's like the last thing I want to do. Guess what? I can just make AI do it. And it looks like crap. And I'm like not, and they love it. Like, it's not something I'd be like super proud, but it's not from me. And so literally they were like, Sean, we're rolling out a ticket system for our HR department. And we need like 9 logos for like continuous improvement and hiring and leave of absence. And so literally I did it in like 20 minutes in ChatGPT. And they're like, Sean, you're a genius. Oh, my God. How'd you do that so fast? And I'm like, I don't know, man. It was tough, but anything for you guys. So that's, AI is great for doing the stuff I don't want to do, and don't put my name on. So that's been great.
Nice. That's great. I've been trying to use it more for like the parts of my job that I don't like. Like you can connect it to like Jira and Slack now, and it's like it's like, I don't know. I know someone said something about this on Slack. Fucking find it.
Well, that's what bums me out so much about Copilot. We're a Windows company, Outlook, Word, OneDrive, the whole nine yards. The single biggest problem in my professional career is finding emails in Outlook. It is real. My whole life is in my, because we don't use Slack. We have Teams, but the Teams search actually isn't terrible. But everything I've ever done is in Outlook. And the search is terrible. And I'm like, if they could do any, Microsoft, if you're listening, there is no Copilot for search in Outlook. You can use it to, oh, help write an email. It's like, no, I know how to do that. Copilot for search that can actually help. So I can type in a sentence and be like, it's when we were working on that ad. It was like a year or two ago. It was for Deck Specialist Magazine. We were going back, you know, like, and then it just finds it. That I would pay money for. That's what I'm missing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so our, we have Slack and most communication happens in Slack, but the company wide Slack retention policy is 30 days.
Stop.
Yeah, except like you can change it for like private channels. So like our team has a private channel and we can increase that to like a year or something. But 90% of all communications is under this 30-day retention policy, including like DMs with people. So like if you and I had a DM, like stuff that we talked about last month is gone.
Sounds like a lawsuit waiting to like aren't you supposed to retain records for a certain amount of time legally? Like that is that would drive me crazy. I pull emails from like 4 years ago. That's crazy.
Yeah. It's just crazy. And they have the like there's this company line about it's like, oh, if it's really important, you should put it in Confluence or something. No, I think they're just cheap, I guess. Like, it's
gotta
expensive.
Be. Right? It's gotta be. Like I said, either it's that horrible. Or they're trying to hide something, right? Hey, we don't have the records. I don't know what to, you know. That is absolutely wild. That would drive me crazy.
Yeah, it's bonkers. It's bonkers, but Yeah, I guess the AI is fine for that. They're just lighting money on fire, presumably, but it's not my money, so they're paying for it.
Well, but that's also one of the things where it's like, what you're going to do is you're going to cause some employee to build some sort of Slack extension to suck out all the messages and archive them, and, you know.
That's what, I've been thinking, I think I'm going to have, you know, Claude on a schedule, because you can do stuff on it, have it do stuff on a schedule now. It's like, yeah, just like archive all the Slack conversations this week.
Honestly.
Like, put it on my computer. Like, I don't, it's not that much data for me to store on my computer.
I think that's perfect. And then what you got to do is then you got to serve up ColbyBot to your coworkers. Say, ask me a question. I know everything Colby's ever said. Now that you got me thinking, I wonder if, I don't know if our company would allow me to latch into my Outlook, but I wonder if I could build my own Outlook search bot and just feed my entire, like the, because there's like, was an ODT file or there's some specific file for like your Outlook. Mine is like 10 gigabytes. It's massive. It's got so much crap in it from literally what, 9 years of working at this company, every email I've ever sent. And so I'm like, oh, that, now you got me thinking, maybe I'll see if I can build something for that.
Seems like a good startup. It's just like Outlook search.
Well, I've always said there needs to be a secure AI where I can just like hook all, every app I use and every record I ever had into it. And then it just knows everything about me. And I know that's a bad idea for many reasons, but in theory, it's great because then I could just, you know, it's like my Gmail history goes back to almost 20 years now at this point. You know, there's, I look up old stuff in there all the time, but I'm just using regular search and not AI. Cause even Gemini doesn't really work great in Gmail. So it's really that search component.
Yep. It's true.
Although I will say, I do find myself using AI a lot more for stuff I used to Google. Especially if it's like, I'm trying to think of a recent example. Actually, I should just look in my history and see what my what I recently searched, but like Excel formulas. Like I used to be really good at writing Excel, like I knew how to do it, and I'm just like, just make me a formula that does this,
right? Right,
you know, vacation planning and all kind, you know, just like, I don't know, I just find it's much better than a Google search when you can just ask it a question and let it do the deep research.
Yeah, and it's not like Googling for stuff was like particularly reliable, right? Like, like I feel like people get up in arms about like, oh, it makes stuff up, but like, so did reading shit on the internet. Like, you were already taking an effort, you know, you were taking a risk that you were ingesting some bullshit.
Well, that's I'm contemplating a new lawnmower. Haven't decided for sure. I'm contemplating it now that I have this lawn. But you know how it is when you search, you know, reviews for anything online. It's a nightmare. Don't know who to trust. Don't know what's real. Everyone disagrees. So I just say, okay, just do a deep dive into lawnmowers and tell me what you find. I don't know if it's right, but it comes out with an answer. So yeah, and I didn't, you know, spend a bunch of my time getting to the bottom of it, you know. I let them do that.
Crazy.
I'm a busy guy. I don't have time for this. No. It's great. Whew. Man, things are wild, aren't they?
You know, it's been quite a year. 2026. I can't believe it's April already.
You're doing the 30 rock of what a week it's been. Lemon, it's only Wednesday. And by the way, I agree.
Yep.
Yes, it has been, but I don't know about you. My first quarter is always my just absolute busiest time of year.
Yeah, it's for us, like last year was so weird because this was like the time when it was like the first 3 months of the year when like maybe we were gonna get acquired by this bigger company and like we couldn't talk about it. And it was like almost definitely gonna happen, but we were supposed to keep working, like, you know, it mattered. It mattered. And And like all that stuff happened, and now we work at a big company. So it's hard. I guess my point is I don't know what our seasons are yet. This is like the first like real April I've ever had.
You're figuring it out.
Yeah. It's one day at a time. It's all fresh.
Yes, it is. And it keeps things spicy, doesn't it? But hey, at least you live in a bakery. And so you got that working for you.
That's true.
Awesome. Well, this has been great. Good conversation. Good catching up. Hope all of you out there enjoyed it as much as we did. Of course, we are Don't Panic at don'tpanic.io, our great website. Go there, check it out. All the audio and video of all the episodes is there. Of course, get it wherever podcasts are available, as well as the video version on YouTube, where you can see Dan's foamy toilet, which it might be the episode title.
That's that the down. Weirdest thing I've ever seen.
Dan's foamy toilet. I mean, for the audio listeners, it's like, you know, you ever see the video of like somebody who puts the wrong detergent in their dishwasher, too much soap in there, and it's just bubbles and foam coming out of it? It's that, but a toilet, which is just wild. I've never seen anything like that. That would scare the shit out of me. I'm not going to lie. That would be scary. And so, yeah, so watch the video for things like that. And of course, get a hold of us, don'tpanicshow@gmail.com. Of course, have to tease Up for Debate over at upfordebate.tv. We're still in the middle of March Madness. Yes, it is April, but that's not going to stop Matt. We're still playing Dream Daddy, which is a hoot. I the other day, I made the mistake. This is true. My coworker said, you know, hey, how's the podcasting going? I said, good. He goes, oh, what you been doing on the show lately? And so I explained what Dream Daddy was. They were very confused. And then I just stopped talking about it. But it is fun. We're doing voices. It's been a hoot. I'm enjoying it. And then I think whenever we finish March Madness, but before we get into summer, maybe in May, I may finally get Sean Tember in. And I got some really fun stuff planned for that, including I really want to do the cooking stream where I cook a dish in real time on the show. That's my dream. And send more food to you and Dan to get you guys back on the show. So hopefully May, maybe. We'll see. But subscribe where you get podcasts. That's over and upfordebate.tv. And he kindly plugs us on his show, so I have to do it here. Matt, with Tomorrow is Canceled, which is the video game podcast he does with his pals. It really is a great show. And I don't just say that because I produce it. It really is fun over at Tomorrow is Canceled pod.com or wherever you get podcasts. Look for Tomorrow's Canceled. The show's great. And Matt streams on Twitch twice a week at twitch.tv/tomorrowiscanceledpod. It is a great stream. I'm a fan. He's been playing a lot of fun games. So if you were on Twitch, make sure you give it a follow when he goes live. He was kind enough to be recording tomorrow night more Dream Daddy in his normal streaming slot. So he's kind enough to do that. No joke when we say a lot's going on. But we got to wrap it up for tonight. So on behalf of Colby and Dan, I'm Sean. We appreciate being here. We're going to see you next time for another great episode of Don't Panic.